B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn brachas daf chof hei. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of daf chof dalad omud beis. Omar Rav Huna, hoyso talisoi chagura loy al mosnov. If somebody had his cloak girded on him from his hips and down, mutar likros kriyas shema, he's allowed to read the kriyas shema. Tanya nam yochi, we saw this also in a brisa. Hoyso talisoi shel beged. If somebody had a cloak made of cloth, shel oir or of leather, or shel sack or of sackcloth, chagura al masnov, that was girded onto his hips, muta likro is kriyas shema, he's allowed to read the kriyas shema. Avolit filo ad sheyichase es liboy. It's not enough that from his hips down are covered, covering his private parts. For shmene esra, for tefillah, a person has to have his heart also has to be covered. And Rashi explains that when a person davens Shmoneh Esra, he's got to be ka'imid lifnei ha-melech, he's got to be standing as if he's davening to a king. He is standing in front of a king, he's standing in front of Hashem, and it's not respectful to stand there with a person's heart exposed, and therefore he has to be covered, including his heart, not only from his hips down. Says the Gemara, V'omer Rav Huna, shochach v'nichnas b'tfilin lebeis hakisei. If somebody forgot and he went into a Beis HaKisei whilst wearing tefillin, and he was excusing himself, he was relieving himself in the Beis HaKisei, maniach yodei aleim ad sheyigmer, he should put his hands on top of the tefillin until he finishes. And the Mefarshim say this is probably referring to the tefillin shel roish, because the tefillin shel yad is generally covered anyway. Ad sheyigmer asol kadaitach, the Gemara says, he can wait in the Beis HaKisei, relieving himself until he's completely finished. He's wearing tefillin. Why do we not make him stop as soon as possible or immediately? Elo kadaomer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok ad sheyigmer amud rishon. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says that he's not allowed to stay there until he's finished relieving himself altogether. He should stay there until he's finished releasing his first discharge. Asks the Gemara of a lifseik le'alta, why don't we force him to stop relieving himself immediately and leave the Beis HaKisei? V'leikum, he should get up and leave. Says the Gemara, mishum v'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. D'tanya Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, oimer amud ha'chizer, mevi es ha'odom lidei hadroikon. If somebody is moving his bowels and he forces the stool to go back up into the bowels, it can cause an illness called hadroikon. Siloin ha'chizer, so too when a person is urinating and he has the urge to urinate and he stops in the middle, forcing himself to keep it in, maybe as adam lidei yarkoin, it can bring a person to an illness called yarkoin. Continues the Gemara, itmar tzoya al basoroi, if there's some excrement on his flesh, on his body, oy yodoi munachas v'beis hakisei, if his hand is inside the room of the Beis HaKisei, he's outside, his whole body's outside, just his hand is inside. Rav Huna Omar Mutar Likrois Kriyas Shema. Rav Huna says, since you're outside, there's no reason not to say Kriyas Shema. Your hand is not saying Kriyas Shema, so your hand is inside. So what? Rav Chisda Omar also Likrois Kriyas Shema. Rav Chisda argues and says you're not allowed to say Kriyas Shema like that. Omar Rava. Rava's now going to explain why they're arguing, what they're arguing about. My Talmud Rav Huna, Tchsiv kol hanashoma tahalil ko. When praising Hashem, kol hanashoma, literally translated as anything with a soul, praises Hashem. But in this context, the Gemara means to say anything that's breathing, tahalil ko. The part of a person which is praising Hashem is his breath, which means his nose and his mouth. And those are the only organs in a person's body that are taking part in the praise. His hands are not part of it, and therefore if his hand is in the Beis HaKisei, it does not stop him from being Tehalil Ka, from praising Hashem, saying Kriyas Shema. Rav Chisda Omar, also likris Kriyas Shema. Rav Chisda says it's also my time, Rav Chisda, Tichsiv kol atzmoy say toimarno Hashem micho moicho. When a person is saying to Hashem, Hashem, who is like you? When we're praising Hashem, it's kol atzmoy say toimarno. Our whole being, all our organs are expressing this, including our hands, and therefore if any of our atzmoisai, any of our bones, any of our organs are inside the Beis HaKisei, one is not allowed to say Kriyas Shema like that. Continues the Gemara, Itmar Reach ra sheyesh lo ikar. A bad smell. One that may well be coming from excrement. And it's clear that it's coming from a very tangible source. Yesh lo ikar. Rav Huna Omar marchik dalid amis. It's enough to move yourself 4 amis away from the source of the smell. V'kayir kriyas shema, and then you can say the shema. Rav Chisda Omar marchik dalid amis mimokim sheposak hareach. A person has to move dalid amis not only from the source of the smell, but from where the smell ends. V'kayir kriyas shema, and only then is he allowed to say the shema. Tanya kavaseid Rav Chisda. We have a braisa like Rav Chisda, who holds that one has to move Dalet Amos not only from the source but from where the smell ends, because it says in a Braisa, Lo yikre odom kriyas shema, a person should not read the shema. Lo yikneged tzoyas odom, not towards the tzoya, the excrement of an odom, of a person, the human, Lo yikneged tzoyas klovim, nor from the tzoya of dogs, Lo yikneged tzoyas chazerim, or the tzoya of chazerim, of swine, of pigs, v'lo yikneged tzoyas tarnagoilim, or the tzoya of chickens, v'lo yikneged the ashpo sharei chora, a heap of trash where the smell is a very bad smell coming from there. A person is not allowed to say shema in front of any of these. V'im hoya mokim gvoya asara tvochim, oy nomuch asara tvochim, if any of these that we mentioned were either above the person 10 tvachim, or below him 10 tvachim, which is almost as if we're saying it's in a totally different entity than the person, it's not in the same rishus as that person, and and this braisa so far is talking about that there's no smell, the person's not smelling it, it's just talking about the source of what could cause a bad smell, the tzoya. Yoishiv betzide v'keir kriyas shema, since there's no smell, and the tzoya itself is 10 tvachim above or below the person, he can say kriyas shema. Ve'im lav marchik mloy einov. If it's not in a different rishus, if it's not above or below 10 tvachim from where he is, then he's not allowed to say the kriyas shema, all the while that the tzoya is in sight. Mloy einov. V'chein letfila. And so too when it comes to davening, one's not allowed to daven with tzoya in sight. Reach rash yesh le'ika. Regarding a bad smell, not the tzoya itself, the smell of tzoya, and a smell that's coming from a tangible source, marchik dalet amos, he has to move dalet amos from where? Mimokoim oreach, from the end where the smell stops. And this is what Rav Chisda said previously, v'koyer kriyas shema, and then he can read the shema. So we see in this braisa that when it speaks about the smell, that he has to move for amos, not from the source of the smell, rather from the smell itself, for amos. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rava les hilchasa kihomas. Nita, the halacha is not like the braisa we just learnt, that all these different types of tzoya, of excrement, one is not allowed to say the shema with them in sight. Elo kihodu tanya, the halacha is like the following braisa. Lo yikre odom kriyas shema, lo yikneged tzoyas odom. A person is not allowed to say the shema when there's any excrement from a human in sight. And regarding the tzoya of chazerim or klovim, swine or dogs, there's a condition. Bizman shenosan oirois letoichon. They used to put skins of animals into the tzoya in order to do the ibud, to process it. And after the skin was in, that is when the excrement of the swine and the dogs would have a particularly bad smell. But if the skins were not in there, then the smell is not bad enough to stop a person being allowed to say kriyas shema, not like the previous braisa that said that tzoyas chazerim and tzoyas klovim on their own, if there's tzoya there, you're not allowed to say the shema. Continues the Gemara. Bo minei Rav Sheshes. Reach ra she'ein lo ikar. Till now we've discussed the tzoya itself, and we've discussed the smell that comes from tzoya, which is yesh le'ika, it's a very tangible source. What happens when you have a bad reach that comes possibly from a person passing gas, or a smell that's not coming from a tangible source? Reach ra she'ein le'ikar mahu. What's the halacha regarding saying shema, and davening, and learning when with such a smell. Omar Luhu. Rav Sheisha said to those that asked the question as follows: Osu kam chazu en si hanu tani tzipi de beirav. Look at the mats lying on the floor in the Beis Hamedrash. Dehani goni vahani garusi. Some of the Talmidim are sleeping on the mats, and others are sitting and learning Torah. And it's very usual and common that some of you sleeping should be passing gas, and you see that in the same room you've got those that are sleeping and those that are learning. So it would seem that if there's a reach ra she'ein la'ikar, it's not coming from a tangible source like excrement, then that it's mutter to sit and learn that. V'hanemili b'divrei Torah, it's only mutter to learn Torah in the presence of such a smell. Aval b'kriyas shema loy. If you want to say the Shema, you can leave the Beis Hamedrash and say Shema outside. Over here, when it comes to sitting and learning Torah, you can't tell a person go and learn Torah all day outside. He's allowed to stay in the Beis Hamedrash. V'divrei Torah nami loy omron elo dechavrei. And even when learning Torah, they only allowed it when it's the smell that's emanating from your friend, from a different person. Aval didei, but from the learner himself, loy, he should wait until the smell passes, and then he can continue learning. Continues the Gemara. Itmar. Tsoya uveris. What happens when you have excrement that's passing? If somebody was passing by with a vessel that was holding excrement, or a graf shel rei, which we're going to learn about in the next omud, a utensil that has the same halacha as tzoya. Abaya omar mutter likreis kriyas shema. Abaya says the fact that this tzoya is on the move, it's not in a stationary position, it's passing, therefore it does not stop a person from being allowed to say the shema. Rava omar also likreis kriyas shema. Rava says it's also to say kriyas shema in the company of tzoya, even if the tzoya is moving. Omar Abaya, minoa mina lo. What's the source to what I hold Abaya that it's muta? Ditnan, I'll bring you a similar concept elsewhere. It says in the Mishnah, hametame, and this is not referring to other tomes, it's talking particularly about a metzera, a person who has tzaras, and aloha is that anybody or anything in the same oihel, under the same roofing as a Matzaira, becomes Tomei. So what happens if the Tomei, the Matzaira, is Oimei Tachas O'ilon, he's standing under the tree, V'hatohir Oivir, and the Toir person is walking past the Matzaira under the same tree, Tomei. The Toir person becomes Tomei, because at some point both him and the Matzaira are under the same tree, under the same covering. Tohir Oimeid, if the Toir person is standing under the tree, Tachas O'ilon, V'tomei Oiver, and the Metzaira is passing by under the tree, Tohir, the Tohir person stays Tohir. Why? Because the Metzaira was just moving past him under the tree, and he didn't stop, he was not stationary. V'im Omad Tomei, if the Metzaira stood for a moment under the tree whilst the Tohir person was there as well, then the Tohir person will become Tomei. V'chein be'even hamanugas, the same halacha applies on a stone that has tzaras, that has the same halacha, that if it's under the same roof as somebody tomei, it will make him tomei, but if the stone was just moving through under the same roof but was not stopping, it didn't become stationary at any point, the Torah person becomes and remains Torah. V'rova omar lacha, Rava says you cannot bring a proof from tzaras to the case of saying Kriyas Shema that we're learning here. Hasam b'kvi'usa talya milsa. In the case of tzaras, the whole halacha of tumas tzaras is dependent on permanence, on being stationary. D'chsev, it says in the pasuk, bodod yeshev michutz la'machne moishavoy. His dwelling should be outside the machane. So the pasuk is referring to a matzera, somebody who dwells, and somebody who dwells is stationary. There's some level of permanence there. Hocha, but in our case of saying Shema when there's tzoya, v'hoyo machanecha kodesh omer achmona. The Torah says that your camp where you're saying dvarim shebikdusha has to be kodesh, has to be holy, and when there's tzoya there, it's not holy. So if you're in standing still or not standing still, that was a sugya we discussed earlier on daf chav dalet amud beis. But if you have a machane and tzoya is moving through your machane, then your machane, the kedusha has been breached, and you're not allowed to say the Shema until the tzoya has left your machane. V'oleka, in the presence of the tzaya, there's no kedusha there. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Papa, pi chazir, the mouth of a chazir, ketzaya iveres domni, it's moving, it has the same halacha as tzaya iveres that we just discussed now. Asks the Gemara Pshita, what's the chiddush? The chazir is always digging around in the tzaya, so he's probably got tzaya on his mouth. So why do I need the chazir? Of course, the pi chazir has tzaya on it, so you can't say kriyas shema there. Loi tzricha, it's not poshut, and there is a chiddush here. Af el gav de solik minara, even though he's just emerged from a river, and we would have assumed that his mouth is completely clean. No, says Rabbi Yonah, has the same halacha as a graf shel rei we're going to learn about an omud base, a vessel that is used and is dedicated for holding tzaya, and since his mouth is all the time busy with the tzaya, it has the halacha of tzaya even when it's clean. Others say that he's so much in the tzaya that even when he goes in the river, it's inevitable that there's going to be a bit of tzaya that's going to be left there, and that's the chiddush here, that one's not allowed to say kriyas shema because of that tzaya. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, safik tzaya asura. If you have a safik, a doubt whether there's tzaya here or not, you're not allowed to say the shema. Safik miraglaim, if you have a safik, a doubt as to whether there's urine here, mutarim, then it's mutar to say the shema. Ikadama Omer Rabbi Yehuda, others say as follows. The Rav Yehuda said, Sofik tzoya. If you have a sofik, a doubt as to whether there is tzoya here, Babayis, if your sofik is in the house, Muteres, you're allowed to say Kriyas Shema, because you can comfortably assume that there's no tzoya here, there's no reason there should be tzoya here. And the Poskim say that if there's little children around, it could be, it's not so straightforward. Ba'ashbo, however, if you are not having, if you don't have a sofik in the house, you have a sofik in the ashbo, where the heap of trash is, then asura, one can assume that there's tzoya there and it's osa. Sofik meiraglaim, if you have a sofik as to whether there's urine around, afilu ba'ashpa nami mutorin, even in the heap of trash, it's also mutar. Sovar lo ki hodr vamnuna, the omer vamnuna here, this Rav Yehuda holds like vamnuna, who says le osra toira elo keneged amud bilvad. The reason that we are more makel with meraglaim, with urine, is because the halachas of meraglaim are more kal, are easier than those of excrement, those of tzaya. Because in the Torah, min haTorah, it's only also to say kriyas shema regarding meraglaim when it's keneged amud, which means the gush, the stream of meraglaim, when it leaves the person, as the meraglaim is streaming down towards the ground, then one's not allowed to say kriyas shema. But as soon as it hits the ground, we'll soon see, as soon as it hits the ground, min haTorah, one is allowed to say kriyas shema there. It's only midrabbonon that they said it was osa. And since it's only midrabbonon, in the case of sofik, they were more makel. Or could there have Yonason, Rabbi Yonason Rami? Rabbi Yonason brings proof that it's more kal, it's easier, the halachas of meraglaim than tzoya, from psukim in the Torah. Ksiv, it says in one pasuk, v'yad tiyeh lecho michutz lamachane, you should have a place outside the camps, v'yotzos shomo chutz. And when a person wants to relieve himself, he goes out into the fields and he relieves himself. And the pasuk does not mention that after you relieve yourself, you should cover over whatever you deposited there. Uchsiv, but there's another pasuk that says, v'yoseid tiyeh lecho, that you should have a type of a tool, an instrument with you, a type of a shovel, and v'chisisa estzeosecho, and the excrements, what a person has relieved himself with, you should cover it over. Hoketzat, why in the first pasuk does it not mention that you should cover over, and in the second pasuk it says that you should? Kan begedolim, the second pasuk is talking about excrement, it's talking about tzoya, and there's a halacha that you have to, min haTorah, you have to cover it over, and all the while it's exposed, it's an infringement on kedushas hamachaneh. And kan bektanim, the first pasuk is talking about urine, and min haTorah, as soon as the water, the urine, has reached the ground, it's not anymore an infringement on v'hoyo machanecho kodesh. Alma, ktanim le'osra Torah, elo k'neged amud bilvad, So we see from here that regarding urine, it's only also min ha-teira to say kriyas shema there, whilst the urine is streaming down to the ground. Ha nofu la'ara, as soon as it reaches the ground, shari it's muta min ha-teira. V'rabbonon hu de-gozer buhu, and it was the rabbonon that said that you should be machmir. V'chi-gozer bu rabbonon b'vadon, when did the rabbonon make their gezeira? Only when it's certain, when it's definite that there's urine there, then you're not allowed to say the Shema. Avol besfeikon, if you have a sofik, if there's urine there, lo yigozur, they were not gezer, and you're allowed to say the Shema. Asks the Gemara, ubevadon ad kamo. So let's say that a person urinated on the floor, and we know that it's reached the floor now. So min ha-teira, one's allowed to say the Shema. The Chachomim said, no, you have a puddle of urine here, you cannot say Shema. How long do we have to wait, or what do we have to do in order to be able to say the Shema? Omar of Yehuda Omar Shmuel calls man shemat pichin. All the while that if somebody were to touch the urine, his hands would get moist. It means there's enough of the urine is still there, and it's also midrabonon to say the Shema. V'chein Omar Rabba Babarchona Omar Rabbi Yechonon calls man shemat pichin. V'chein Omar Ula calls man shemat pichin. A number of Chachomim all held that all the while that it would make a person's hand moist, it's called that the Meir Aglaim is present and you're not allowed to say the Shema. Gniva Mishmei Rav. Gniva was the name of a person, and he said in the name of Rav that how long do you have to wait? Kolzman Sherishumon Nikar. Even when the urine would not make your hand moist, it's been absorbed or dried to some level, however, if traces of the urine are still discernible, then it's enough and it's still Osa to say the Shema. Omer of Yosef, Shorolei Mori Ligniva, Hashem should forgive Gniva for saying this halach in the name of Rav, because we assume Rav never said this. And we're going to prove from something else that Rav said that this was not the halacha. Hashta Tzoya, if in the case of Tzoya, an excrement, Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, we hear explicitly in the name of Rav, Rav Yehuda said in his name, Kiven Shekormu Poneo, if the excrement has already become crusted over, mutar, you're already allowed to say the Shema there. Meir aglaim mi boya. Even more so in the case of urine, we can take it for granted that if it's dried enough, that it doesn't make, there's no moisture there, that it should be mutar to say the Kriyas Shema. Omar le Abaya. Abaya said to Rav Yosef, my choses to some chasaha, why are you relying on what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav? And that way you're refuting Gniva. Smoich aha. I have another quote in the name of Rav, and according to this third quote, there won't be any reason to disprove Gniva. D'omar Rab bar Rav Huna Omar Rav, Tzoya afilu kecheres. Even if the excrement is so brittle, it's like earthenware, asura, it's still also to say Kriyas Shema in front of it. Asks the Gemara, v'heichi domi tzoyo kacheres. What's the level of brittleness that it's called tzoyo kacheres and is still also to say Kriyas Shema in front of it, but if it's any more brittle than that, then it's not called tzoyo and one is allowed to say the Shema? Omer Rabbi Bar Barchon, Omer Rav Yechonon, calls mancha zayurko ve'ino nifreches. If when you throw the tzoya, it's not going to crumble, that's called tzoya kacheres. If it would crumble, that's already more than too much brittle, and you're allowed to say the Shema. V'ikidama calls man shegoylila ve'ino nifreches. That if when you would roll it on the floor, it would not crumble, that's called tzoya kacheres. But if when rolling it on the floor, it would crumble, then it's not called tzoya anymore, and one is allowed to say the Shema. Omer Avina, Hava Koimno Kameid Rav Yosef, I was standing in front of Rav Yosef Midifti, from Difti, Chozo Tzoya, and we noticed that there was some excrement there. Omer Li, Rav Yehuda Midifti said to me, Ayin, go and check Ikormu Poneo, have a look whether the surface of the Tzoya has become crusted. Eloi or not, the others say that he didn't say check whether it's crusted, they said check whether there's cracks on the surface of the tzoya. So that's obviously another manda omar, another way of deciding whether the tzoya is more than enough brittle and become old and dry that it's no more got the halachas of tzoya. Continues the Gemara, May have Allah. What's the halacha regarding meir aglaim? We had a number of different opinions as to how dry the meir aglaim has to be that it's muta, even midrabanon, to say the Shema. Itmar, tzoya kacheres, we saw that regarding tzoya, excrement that is dry like cheres, amemer omar asura, omar zutra, omar muteres. It's machlekes whether if it's kacheres, if it's muta or asa. Omar Rava. And Rava said, Hilchasa tzoya kacheres asura. Tzoya, regarding excrement, if it's kacheres, it's also to say kriyas shema in front of it. Umeir aglaim, but regarding water, the urine, kolzman shemat pichin, all the while that it could make a person who touches it, his hand would get damp, it's enough. It has retained the status of urine, and therefore one is not allowed to say the shema. Meisve, we saw in the Braisa, Meir aglaim kolzman shematpichin asurin. All the while that the meir aglaim would make somebody's hand moist, one is not allowed to say Shema. Nivlau o yavshu, if they got absorbed into the ground or they got dried, mutarin, then one is allowed to say the Shema. And now the Gemara's we're going to discuss, we have matpichin on one side, which is asa, we have nivlau o yavshu on the other side, where it's completely dry, but there's the stage in the middle, the stage of rishumoy nikar that we were discussing earlier on. That there's, even though it's not damp anymore, but traces of the urine are still discernible. One can still tell. And where does that fall? Does that fall into the category of matpichin and is osa, or does it fall into the category of nivlu ayavshu? That's the big question here. So the Gemara is going to say, my love, nivlu dumya yavshu. Since in the Sefer it says nivlu o yavshu, then there must be, there has the same halacha. Ma yavshu de'in rishumon nika, if it's completely dry, there's no traces that can be discernible. Af nivlu, so too, when it gets totally absorbed, it's only muta when ein rishumon nika, if there's no more traces that can be seen. Ha rishumon nika, if, however, there are some traces that are still showing, osur, it's osur to say the Shema there. Afal gav de'ein matpichin, even though they would not make you moist. Asks the Gemara ulutameich, I hear how you're learning the Sefer. Eimer Reisha, how are you going to learn the Reisha? In the Reisha it says, kol zman shematpichin hu de'osa. It's only osur when it would make you damp. Hori shumon nikar, if it's absorbed and all that's left is a trace of it, but there's no dampness left, shari it will be muta. So the Reisha and the Sefer seem to be contradicting each other as to what's the halacha with this middle stage of Rishumay Nika. Elom miho leka lemashma mine. From the fact that the Braisa was written this way, it's clear that the Braisa did not intend us to learn from it what the halacha is with Rishumay Nika, and we have to find another proof. Says the Gemara, Lema Ketanoi, maybe the halacha of this stage of Meir Aglaim, where Rishumay Nikar, it's more dry than Matpichin, but more discernible than completely Yavshu, than completely Nivla, completely absorbed. Maybe it's a Machlekes Tanoim. We saw in the Braisa as follows, Kli Shenishbechu Mimenu Meir Aglaim, Osur. Also Likros Kriyas Shema Kenegdoi. There's a halacha called Graf, a kli, which is a vessel where its purpose of that vessel is to collect meir aglaim. Even if there's no meir aglaim in it, since this is kli is always absorbing meir aglaim, one is not allowed to say the Shema in front of this kli. Or meir aglaim atzmon shenishbechu. But what about the meir aglaim itself that got spilt? Is one allowed to say Shema in front of them? So it says as follows. There's a machlekes tanoim. Nivlu mutar. If it got absorbed, if the meir aglaim is absorbed into the ground, then one can say the Shema. Loi nivlu, if it's not absorbed, it's asa. Rabbi Yosi Oimer calls man shematpichin. Rabbi Yosi says it's asa all the while that it would make your hand moist. And we don't really know exactly what's going on here. We have a machlekes tanoim. Tanakama say it depends if it's nivlu or not. Rabbi Yosi says if it's damp, it's asa. Now we have to try and understand exactly where this machlekes is. What does nivlu mean? What does loi nivlu mean? Says the Gemara, the Gemara is going to try. There's going to be three different ways of explaining this brisa, the Tanakama. May nivlu, umay lo nivlu. What does it mean, absorbed or not absorbed? In the Tanakama, the Gemara Tanakama, ilay men nivlu. If you assume that nivlu means the ein matpichin, which means rishumay nikar, it means it wouldn't make you damp at all, but there would still be some traces that you could tell. Lo nivlu. And loy nivlu would mean demat pichin. It would make your hands damp. And that's what the Chachomim meant. The Tanakamas say mat pichin is asa, but rishumay nikar is muta. V'asa Rav Yosi lemeimer. Then Rav Yosi is going to say, kol zman shemat pichin hu da asa, harishuma nikar shari. What's Rav Yosi coming to add when he's saying, no, I Rav Yosi hold mat pichin. If it would make you damp, it's asa. But if it's less than that, which means rishumay nikah, then it's muta. Hainu tanakama. Then he's not arguing with the chachomim. And it's clear in the braisa that there's machlekas tanakama and Rabbi Yosi. So the first way of understanding nivlu and loy nivlu would determine that there's no machlekas Rabbi Yosi and the chachomim, and that cannot pass. Elo, we're going to have a second try to understand the tanakama. Nivlu, what does the word nivlu mean? The ein rishumon nikar. It's even more dry than rishumon nikar. There's nothing left there at all. It's like we saw before. It's yavshu. It's compared to yavshu. There's no trace left. That's when it's mutter to say the Shema. Loi nivlu. The stage of loi nivlu means rishumon nikar. That it's not entirely absorbed, but it's not matpichin. And that's when it's also according to the Chachomim. V'aser b'yisi lemeimah, Rav Yosi says, kol zman shematpichin hu da aser, harishum on nikar shari. Rav Yosi says one stage further. He says it's only also if it would make your hands damp. But if all that's left is a trace, then even though the Chachomim call that loy nivlu and it's also, Rav Yosi says it's muta, shari. And if so, we have here a machlokes tanoim, rabbonon, and Rabbi Yosi, whether meiraglaim that rishumo in nikar, whether it's also or not. According to the chachomim, it's called loy nivlu, and it's also to say the shema. And according to Rabbi Yosi, it's less than matpichin, and it's mutter to say the shema in front of it. So the Gemara asked, "My hava aloh? What's the halacha with rishumo in nikar? It's a machlokes tanoim. That's the leimeke tanoi." Says the Gemara loy. I can explain to you this braisa in a third way, and then it will not be a machlekas at all by rishumay nikar. The kule alma calls manshamat pichinhu daosa. Everybody agrees that it needs some level of dampness in order for it to be osa to say the shema. Hari shuma nikar. If it's dry, that all that's left is the trace. Lechol ades. Everybody agrees that it's mutter to say the shema. So what's the machlekes? V'hocha b'tefeach al menos lehatfeach ika b'nayu. The question is, how damp does it have to be? Is it enough that when you touch it, your hand gets damp? Or does it have to be such that when you touch it, your hand gets damp enough that if you then touch something else, that something else will become damp? That's called tefeach al menos lehatfeach. So the Chachomim, they say that nivlu means when it's matpichin. If it's just enough to make you damp, but you wouldn't become damp enough to dampen something else, that's called nivlu, and you're allowed to say the Shema. Loi nivlu is if it's tefeach al menos latfeach, that your damp hand would be so damp it would make something else damp. And Rabbi Yosi says, no, even if it's just matpichim, it's already also to say the Shema. So whereas till now Rabbi Yosi was more makel, according to the way the braisa is being learnt now, Rabbi Yosi is actually being more machmir than the Chachomim. But the bottom line is that if it's so dry that it's not even matpichin, it's only rishumay nikah, then everybody agrees, also the Chachomim and also Rabbi Yosi, that it's mutter to say the Shema there. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Yorad litvoil im yochel la'alois v'chulei, that if he's got enough time to come out of the mikveh before nets, in order to be able to say the Shema, he should get out of the mikveh and say the Shema. If there's not enough time, then he should, his head is outside the mikveh, his body is inside the water, and he can say the Shema. And at what point, what's the time that we're giving him? Till nets. Says the Gemara, Lema Tana Stoma Kareb Eliezer. It seems that the Tana in our Mishnah that says that it depends on nets is going according to Rabbi Eliezer on Daf Tesamud Beis, the Omer Adonai Tzachamo, who holds that the Zman of saying the Soif Zman Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis is Neitz Tzachamo. Because it says here, if you've got time to say the Shema before Neitz, you should leave the mikveh, if not, say it in the mikveh. Says the Gemara, no. Afilo Teimu Rabbi Yeshua, it could even be according to Rabbi Yeshua, that says that the Soif Zman of saying the Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis is much later. So why over here does the Mishnah speak about nets? The Dilma Kvasikin, we're talking about somebody who wants to be machmir like the Vasikin, the very devoted people who try to say the Shema as early as possible, and the best time to say it is just before nets. And therefore the Mishnah said that if you want to be makbid and say the Shema just before nets, if you haven't got time to get out of the mikveh, you can say it in the mikveh, as we saw in the Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, Ve'imlav yiskase b'mayim v'yikre. If you haven't got enough time to get out of the mikveh and say Shema before nets, then make sure that you're completely covered with water from your neck down, and then you can read the Shema in the mikveh. Asks the Gemara, V'harei liboy roye sa'erva. His heart can see his private parts. It's all very good that our eyes can't see the private parts, because, or at least it's considered a different reshus, because his head is outside the mikveh, outside the water, and his erva is inside the water, but his heart is in the same reshus, can see the erva. Omer belozo v'itemir b'acha bar'aba bar'acha mishum rabbeinu b'mayim achurim shonu. We're talking about the water is cloudy, and therefore the heart cannot see the erva. The domu k'ara smichta, it's compared to very thick earth. And that way his heart will not see the erva. Ton Rabbonon, we learnt in a braisa, mayim tzlulim, clear water. Yeshev behen ad savoro, he can sit inside the water until his neck. V'kira, and he can say the Shema. V'yesh oimrim, some say oichron baraglo, he should cloud the water by stirring up the dust and the dirt at the bottom of the mikvah in order to cloud the water, so his heart should not see the erva. The Tanakama asks the Gemara, Vahare liboy roya erva. How can the Tanakama say that you can sit in clear water and you don't need to make it cloudy? His heart is going to see the erva. Says the Gemara, Kosova liboy roya erva muta. The Tanakama hold that since the heart and the erva are very commonly in the same rishus, and when they're clothed, it's very common that the same clothes should cover the heart and the erva, and therefore there's no issue with liboy royesa erva. Asks the Gemara, Vahari akevoy, his heel, royesa erva. If he's in clear water, his heel can see the erva. No part of his body is allowed to be exposed to the erva if it's a part of the body that's usually not exposed to the erva. And since the heel is normally got its own dressing, its own clothes, and does not see the erva, why is it not a problem over here that akeva yiroya es erva? Says the Gemara, Kosova akeva yiroya es erva muta. He holds that there's no problem with the heel seeing the erva, even though it's normally not they're not exposed to each other. Itmar akeva yiroya es erva muta. Says in the Braisa that if the heel sees the erva, it's muta to say the Shema. Noigea, if the heel touches the erva, Abaya Omar Osur, Vrova Omar Muta. It's machlekas whether if the heel is touching the private parts, whether one is allowed to say the Shema that way. Reb Zvid Masni Lalaho Shmaita Hochi. Reb Zvid said it as follows. Reb Chinana Bereder of Ika Masni Lahochi. Reb Zvid learnt it that way, and Reb Chinana learns it differently. Divrei Hakoil Noigea Divrei Hakoil Osa. Everybody agrees that if the heel is touching the erva, it's also to say the Shema. Roye, but if the heel sees the erva, then Abaya Omar Osa. Abaya says it's Osa. Rav Omar Muta. Why is it Muta if the heel is seeing the erva? Loinit no Torah lemalechi asharos. Since we're learning Torah all day long, and it's almost not possible that there should be some part of the body that might be seeing the erva, and it's not possible to be machmir to that extent unless you're a malach. And since we were not created as angels, it's not possible to be makbid like that, and therefore it's mutter to say the Shema and to learn Torah, even if the Ekev, the heel, sees the Erva. The Hilchah said, Alocha is Negea Osur. If any part of the body touches the Erva, then it's also to say the Shema. And Tosfos says the reason is because it's a gzeira that he might touch the erva with his hands, and the Mishnah Berurah explains that if the hands touch the erva, it's definitely a problem because of hiror. Roye mutar, but if the heel or any other part of the body just sees the erva, then it's mutar. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rava, tzoyo ba'ashoshis, if you have excrement that's in a lantern or hiding behind a transparent screen, what we might call glass, plastic, muta likres kriyas shema kenegdo, even though you can see the tzoyo, you're allowed to say the shema. Erva ba'ashoshis, what happens if you see an erva, an exposed part of a person that you're not allowed to see when saying the shema, and it's behind a transparent mechitza, partition, also likres kriyas shema kenegdo, you're not allowed to say the shema. And now the Gemara is going to explain. Tzoyo ba'ashoshis muta likrois kriyas shema kenegdo. Why is one allowed to say shema when one can see tzoyo? Just because it's behind a transparent partition. The tzoyo bekisui talya milsa. The whole issa, the prohibition to say the shema in front of tzoyo is on condition that the tzoyo is not covered, as it says explicitly. V'chisiso. It's the Pasuk. The Pasuk we mentioned on Amud Aleph, that the main problem with Tzoyo is that it's not covered. Over here it's covered. Who cares if the covering is transparent or not? Erva ba'ashosh is osa. However, regarding Erva, even though it's covered, since it can be seen, it's osa. Likris kriyash makinegdo. Why? Because v'lo yiroye b'cho ervas dovar omar achmona. As far as Erva is concerned, it says, you're not allowed to see it. Here that you can see it. Who cares that there's a transparent partition in between? Tachlis, at the end of the day, you can see it. You're not allowed to say Dvorim Shepekdusha in front of the Erva. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abaya, Tzoyo Kol Shehu. If there's a tiny bit of excrement which is stopping us from being allowed to say Shema in front of it, Mevateles Baroik. You can nullify it with some spit. Omar Rava uberoik ovo. Rava says it has to be a very thick type of spit, similar to what we would call phlegm, where it's completely covered over. Omar Rava tzoyo begumo. If you've got some excrement in a hole in the ground, maniach sandalo yoleo, he can just cover the hole with his sandal. V'kayir kriyas shema, and he's allowed to read the shema. Boy Mar Bered Ravina, the son of Ravina, asked, Tzoyo dvuko besandaloi. What happens if his sandal, when he's covering the tzoyo, is actually touching the tzoyo, is actually attached to the tzoyo? Mai, what's the halacha? Teiku, we don't know, there's no final ruling on this. Yemitz Hashem, when Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi will teach us what the halacha is. And the Meforshim here explain exactly what's going on here, whether a person can cover tzoyo with a sandal while it's on his foot. Do we call the sandal as an extension of his foot? It's clear that you cannot cover tzoyo with part of your own body. And the question is how far removed the tzoyo has to be from the shoe, from the sandal, so that it's not called that you're covering it with an annex of your own body. And that's what's going on here, but I don't want to make it complicated. We've read the Gemara Kipshutei. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Yehuda. Akum Orum. A goy, a Gentile, literally translated as an idol worshipper, who is naked. Anyone can see his erva. Is one allowed to say the Shema in front of him or not? Also, Likres Kriyas Shema Kenegdoi. Rav Yehuda says that it's called an erva and you're not allowed to say the Shema. Asks the Gemara, My iri Akum Afilu Yisrael Nami. What is this, a chiddush by an akum that you cannot say the Shema? Even by Yisrael, you can't say the Shema in front of his erva. Says the Gemara, yeah, Yisrael pshitalei da'asa. Regarding Yisrael, it's pashat it asa. That is the typical erva that the Torah is speaking about. Ela akum itzrichalei. I, Rabbi Yehuda, needed to tell you that by akum, even though he's akum, it's still called an erva. Mao de tema, I might have thought, hoyel uchsiv behu, the posuk speaks regarding akum. asher besar chamoirim besorom, their flesh is compared to that of a donkey, eima kechamoir ba'almahu. I might have thought that we can consider the akum as a donkey. And there's no problem of erva. Komash melon the chiddush is that inhu nami ikri erva. They are called erva. Where do we find that the private parts of an akum are called an erva? Dechsiv, it says in the pasuk, ve'ervas aviem lo yira'u. They did not see the private parts of their father Noach, and Noach wasn't a yishol. He was a ben Noach. He had many similarities to that of an akum, and therefore, since the pasuk calls it ervas aviem, therefore, even the erva of an akum is considered an erva, and one may not say Shema when it is exposed. Continues the Gemara. V'lo yiskase loy b'mayim haroyim v'loy b'mei ha-mishre ad sheyitel l'toichon mayim. We saw in the Mishnah that one should not say the Shema whilst covered with bad waters, with bad smelling waters, with waters where flax and other materials are getting processed in it, since it's very, very bad smelling, that it's all very nice that you're covered with the water and there's no problem of seeing the erva, but there is a problem with saying Shema in the presence of such water. Continues the Gemara. V'kamo maya romi v'ozil. How much water do you have to add into a pool of mayim haroyim or a pool of mei ha-mishre in order for it to become diluted and muta to say kriyas shema like that? And we take it for granted that there's no amount of water that you can add. You're sitting in a whole pool of mayim haroyim that you can't add enough water to make it take away the bad smell and make it muta to say kriyas shema there. You have to read the Mishnah as follows, because in the Mishnah itself it says lo yiskase lo b'mayim haroyim v'lo b'mei ha-mishre ad sheyitel l'toichon mayim, till you put water in. And it doesn't make sense, because there's no amount of water you can put in that will take away the properties and the bad smell of these waters. This is what the Mishnah meant to say, and it's as if there's a couple of words that we have to add in. Lo yiskase lo b'mayim haroyim v'lo b'mei ha-mishre klal. One should not cover oneself. That means it doesn't help to be in a pool covered with mayim haroyim or mei ha-mishre at all. Period. Full stop. Nothing doing. There's nothing you can do to this water to allow you to say the Shema there. Or mei raglayim. If there is some mei raglayim, some urine in front of you, a little puddle or collected in a kli, some mei raglayim, and you're not allowed to say the Shema in front of mei raglayim, as we've seen in the Gemara, what do you have to do in order to allow you to say the Shema? Achayati l'toichon mayim v'ikre. If you add some water into the mei raglayim and somewhat dilute the mei raglayim, then one is allowed to say the Shema even in the presence of the mei raglayim. And we're going to discuss how much and when one has to put this water in. Tanu Rabbanon, we saw in the Braisa. Kamo yatil l'toichon mayim. How much water do you have to put into the mei raglayim in order for it to be enough diluted that one can say the Shema? Says the Gemara, kol shu. Any amount. As long as one puts a little bit of water in, it's enough. Reb Zakkai Omer, revius. Reb Zakkai holds you have to put in a whole revius of water into the mei raglayim to dilute it enough that you can now say the Shema in front of it. Omer of Nachman. Machleikas lebasayif. The whole machleikas is only once you have the mei raglayim, how much water you have to put into the mei raglayim in order to dilute it. And there Rav Zakkai says that you have to have a revius. Aval betchila, if before the urine was put there, you first put some water and then the urine is put into the water, kol shehin, everybody agrees it's enough to have just any little amount of water, and then the urine just gets diluted into that little bit of water and one can say the Shema. Rav Yosef argued and said, Machleikas likatchila. The machleikas as to how much water you need is if you're putting the water there before the urine arrived. Aval lebesoif, after the urine is there, divrei hakel revius, everybody agrees you need a whole revius to dilute it. Omali Rav Yosef l'shami, Rav Yosef said to his shamish, Aisili revius edemaya, bring me a revius of water, ker of Zakkai, because Rav Yosef held that even lekatchila, you need to have, according to Rav Zakkai, you need a revius, and therefore, since he was going to be matil mei raglayim, he wanted to make sure it wouldn't be a problem, so he asked for a revius of water to put down before the mei raglayim, and this is in accordance to what Rav Yosef himself said, that the machleikas is, even if you put water there before the Meraglaim, and even in that case, Rav Zakkai says you need to have a whole Revius and not Kol Shehu. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbonon, Graf Shel Rei, a vessel that's used to collect excrement, V'avit Shel Meraglaim, or a utensil that's used to collect urine, also Likres Kriyas Shema Kenegdon. You're not allowed to say the Shema in front of these Kalim, even if there's no tzoyo in them, and even if there's no meraglaim in them. Or meraglaim atzmon, but if you have actual urine, not just the kli, ad sheyate l'teichon maim, as long as you put water in it, you'll be able to say the Shema. The kamo yate l'teichon maim, how much water do you have to put in? Kol shu, any amount is enough. Rav Zakkai oimer revius, Rav Zakkai says you have to put in a whole revius. Continues the Braisa, that the halachas of not being allowed to say the Shema, if there's either a graf shel rei or avit shel meraglaim or tzoya or meraglaim without those special vessels that are more chomrodik, bein lifnei amito, bein la'achar mito, it's irrespective of whether the meraglaim or whatever's going to be osa, it's irrespective of whether it's in front of the bed or if it's behind the bed. In front of the bed means that the bed is not separating between the person and the meraglaim. Behind the bed means that the person is standing where he is and the meraglaim is on the other side of the bed. The bed itself is separating between the two. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel oimer la'achar amito koira. If the meraglaim is behind the bed, he can say Shema. But if the meraglaim is in front of the bed, on the same side of the bed as the person, then einoi koira. And now the Gemara is going to add six words, and we have to later decide where they belong to. Aval marchik hu arba amos v'koira. If he separates himself four amos from them, then you're allowed to read the Shema. And the question is this going on l'achar amito or lifnei amito? We're going to see that in the Gemara soon. But that was the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, afilu bayis meo amo, even if there's a big room which is 100 amos big, lo yikre, you're not allowed to say Shema if the meraglaim is in the room, achu yitziim, until you take out the meraglaim, o yishyanichim tachas amito, or if you put them under a bed. And then it's as if it's covered. Says the Gemara, iboyeluhu, heicha k'omar, those words that we saw before, aval marchiku arba amos v'koira, that we saw in Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, where are they going on? Achar hamito koira, is it going on the first words of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that he said that if it's behind the bed that you can read the Shema koira miyad, then you can read it immediately without having to move away, lifnei amito einei koira, but if it's in front of the bed then einei koira, and here's where we add on Marchik arba amos v'koira. He's not allowed to read unless he's four amos away from it. Oy Dilma, no. Maybe those words are going on the first part. Hochik omar la'achar hamito. If it's behind the bed, marchik dalad amos v'koira. When can you read it, providing it's also four amos away? Lefnei amito. But if it's in front of the bed, ein koira klal. You cannot read it bichlal. That was the question of the Gemara. Toshima, we're going to try and bring a proof from a brisa. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Oimer, Achar Hamita Koira, if it's behind the bed you can read, Miyad, immediately, you don't need to move it four amos away. Lifnei Amito, if it's in front of the bed, Marchik Arba Amos, in that case, you have to move away from the Meraglaim four amos, and then you can read the Shema. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Afilu Bayis Meo Amo, even if there's a room which is 100 amos big, Lo Yikre Achi Etziom, you can't say the Shema unless you take away the Meraglaim, or the Graf Shel Rei, or the Avit Shel Meraglaim, as we discussed, or you put them under the bed. Says the Gemara, Boyon Efshitelon, you asked a question, where those words, Aval Marachiku Arba Amis V'Koira, where they belong to? Do they belong to the Fnei Amito, Achrei Amito? Yeah, You've explained that to us, that it's going on lifnei amito. However, masnisa kasha ad kasha nadodi. I don't know if you noticed, but the shittos of our opposite shittos, where in the first brisa, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was the one that said it depends on if it's behind the bed or in front of the bed, and Reb Shimon ben Elazar said that a whole big room is just considered within Dalet Amos. In this second brisa, it was the other way around. Says the Gemara, Epech Basraisa. Yet the second Brisa, you should change round the names. That change Rav Shimon ben Elazar with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Asks the Gemara, Umay Chozis de Apches Basraisa, Epech Kamaisa. What would make you choose and decide that the names in the second Brisa should be switched? Maybe the names in the first Brisa should be switched. Says the Gemara, Man Shomislei de Omar, Kule Bayis Ka'arba Amis Domi. Who's the opinion that says that a whole house, even if it's 100 Amos big, a whole room, a big room, is all considered as within 4 Amos? Rav Shimon ben Elazar, we know it's Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and therefore we're going to change the names in the second Brisa. And it's fascinating, Rashi here says, Lo Yodati Heichon Hi. Rashi says, I don't know where the Gemara knows that it's Rav Shimon ben Elazar who maintains that an entire big room is all considered as being within 4 Amos. And what's even more fascinating is that it's not enough that Rashi here is so humble and says, I don't know where this is. Rabbi Kiveigi here brings over 40 different Maramakoima sources within Rashi and Shas, where Rashi humbly admits, I don't know where the source is. It's a lesson for all of us. It's okay not to know something. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yosef, boy minei mirvuna, mita pochois mishloisho. If you have a bed that's less than 3 tfochim between the bed and the floor, pshitali, then it's poshut, the kalavu domi, that the bed is just an extension of the floor, and if you put the meraglaim or the graf shel rei or whatever it is under that bed, it's as if it's covered over. It's as if you've submerged it into the ground. Shloisha, arba, chamisha, shisha, shiva, shmoina, tisha, mau. What's the halacha if the bed is either 3 tvachim, or 4, or 5, or 6, or 7, or 8, or 9 tvachim above the ground? Is it also called covered by the bed? And therefore it's like tzoya, which is covered, and one can say the Shema? Or no? Omale, lo yodano. I don't know. We don't know what the halacha is. Asoro, vadai, lo mi boyali. 10, I didn't ask the halacha with 10. Omar Abaya says, Shapir of this delo yiboy lecha. It's very good you didn't ask him what the halacha is with 10 tvachim, because kol asora roshus achrisahi. It's crystal clear that 10 tvachim above the ground is a roshus, it's an entity of its own. It's clearly not an extension of the ground. It's a new area. So putting something under a roofing of 10 tvachim is definitely not called that you've covered it. The question is, between 3 tvachim and 10 tvachim, if it's called covered because it's not yet considered a whole rashus, or do we say no, since it's more than 3 tvachim, it's therefore not called covered? And we don't know the answer to that. Omar Rava, Hilchasa pochis mishloisha kolavu domi. The halacha is that if the bed is less than 3 tvachim, it's considered an extension of the ground to comply with the halachas of lovud, that anything less than 3 tvachim, it just becomes an extension of what's on the side of it, what's above it, what's below it, and is disregarded as being a space of its own. Asora, if it's a full 10 tvachim, rishus achritihi, it's a separate rishus, and is definitely not called covered. Mishloisha ad asora, hainu deboi minei, Rav Yosef mirvuna. Rav Yosef asked Rav Huna what the halacha is between 3 and 10, but lei poshat lei, and he didn't answer him. Omarav halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that a big room, even if it's 100 amos, has got the halacha of 4 amos. B'chein Omar of Bali, Omar of Yaakov, Bro de Bas Shmuel. We've already come across this, the daughter of Shmuel. The broad bas Shmuel, you can have a look. We discussed this in Daf Tezayin Omud Aleph. Halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. V'Rava Omar in halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rava argues with Rav and with Rabbi Yaakov broad bas Shmuel, and he holds the halacha is not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And Yemir Tzeshem, in the next shiur, we'll start from here.